Trendy is presented for the people by Caesar Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. Download it, must be 21 years or older. Welcome back to another edition of Trendy, presented by Omaha, the show where we like to explore the best ways to wager for casual cappers. And I do not have a casual capper here. I have the one, the only Martin Weiss. We are 1-1 this year on this competition, and I expect him to try to take me down. How are you doing this week, Martin?
I'm doing well. Fresh off of watching some good college basketball. How about that on the ladies' side? That was a fun awakening yesterday, just to be followed by an NBA game in which neither team scored 80 points. So the best basketball of the day was happening between the undergraduate women of their respective conferences.
I mean, you've got to love women's basketball at this point, right? Between the continuity and the rivalries and the chippiness and all those sorts of things. It's like what I remember good college basketball being in the 80s and 90s with just like a different gender now. So we're going to talk a little bit about the sports calendar here in a minute. But before the show, I was like, why are the men playing second? Let the women have the main stage. Like, if we're just going to have this one and done, if we're going to have the transfer portal, if we're going to have this bastardization of the sport that I grew up loving, let's give the women the real floor to shine on.
I mean, I'll be honest, they had it yesterday, and I think that was going to be the best conference championships that we saw between Caitlin Clark's second half, between just the whole game of LSU, South Carolina. And then to watch USC, you know, watch USC go ahead and beat Stanford, and Juju was terrible. She couldn't get in. She couldn't do anything. Like, that's the one that you know, is the star of the team, 50-point games, 40-point games. She's within shouting distance of Cheryl Miller's freshman record at USC. Like, Cheryl Miller is, like, depending on who you ask, depending on how old they are, they will have her as the best women's basketball player of all time. You know, especially at the undergraduate level, and she was a non-factor shooting the ball, and just it was great to see. It was a mark of a really good team, that USC team. But it's going to be interesting to see, especially just to pull behind the curtain as a TV executive. The ratings for that is probably going to dictate a lot more conversation about the sport going forward.
Absolutely, and it should. I mean, what Dawn Staley's done in South Carolina, what NIL has done for everybody's profile, and the way that they're, you know, really contributing both on the television ratings, but more importantly on the court. Like, these games are awesome, and we actually know who the players are, which is a nice change of pace. And so I say more, bring on the women, put them on prime time, make the men earn their spot back.
I think the key is a continuity. You know, like, Angel Reese was at LSU last year. She's at LSU this year again. Go figure. Who would Flajay Johnson? Same deal. You know, it's easier. That's one of the things that you used to love about college, men's college basketball, but that does not exist in the same way anymore.
Well, that actually brings me into what I want to talk about before our picks today, Martin, which is, like, when I was growing up, and I'm a little bit older than you, but college basketball was still pretty big when you were growing up. Like,
oh, sure.
A lot of people brought up March as the single best time of the year for the sports calendar. It's just like March Madness is such an amazing event that they would say, I would rather have this than any other time of the year. So first of all, I'd love to hear your opinion, what your favorite time of the year is for sports. And second, I would love to hear, like, people still have that opinion, because, like, isn't it pretty demonstrative that college basketball is on the descent versus where it used to be? And so can you still say that March is the best time on the sports calendar when it's anchored by an event that isn't nearly what it used to be?
Yeah, no, I think March is slipping down the rankings. I'd have to say December is a pretty good sports month. Right, the NFL is winding down. You'll have maybe a playoff game or two, if not the end of the regular season, games that essentially are playoff games. You have Christmas Day NBA, which is big time there. You know, all these college sports are still in play, right? So, you know, they might have, if you have a phenom a la, like, the last one that we really had that kind of drew the attention on the men's side was Zion Williamson. This year you had Caitlin Clark. She was kind of driving the conversation for college basketball. So I think I have to say, I think December is closing in rapidly. If not, I'd say December is closing in rapidly on March, with January being a close third.
I'll tell you, you didn't even throw out my favorite one. October is my favorite month for sports. October is my favorite month for everything, right? Like, it's the best weather nationwide or even worldwide. It's my favorite beer selection comes out in October. Like, the kids are back at school. I know that's not as big a deal for you, but it's a huge deal for me, so I could actually do my job during the day. And then you have all the sports going at once, right? Like, you got college basketball just gearing up. You got baseball and the only baseball games that truly matter all year. Football's in full flight. NBA is just starting up. Hockey's starting up. You get that cool equinox day off in there where they all come in. And it's like, I know that besides baseball, these games aren't of the ultimate consequence, but the fact that there's so much sports happening, I mean, soccer's going on at that point. So it's like true, like 24/7, 365, that if you really follow a lot of things, then it's hard to get better than that time of year.
Yeah, see, that worked a lot better for me back when I had the three televisions set up in the living room. Now that I just have the one, I feel like I miss everything. It's too much going on. Like, I don't even know what to pick, because how am I supposed to make the decision between, you know, this game or that game, or, you know, this Thursday night? So I got Thursday night football and NBA on TNT, you know, like, God knows what else is going on. It's so much.
For $3,500, Apple would love to solve that problem for you. Though you never right. see your girl's face again.
No, that's absolutely right. And soon enough, it'll all be on streaming, which is going to, you know, Damashek was shouting from the rooftops about how this was a potential thing. And I underplayed it. He was so right that it's so hard to change the channel. You can't change the channel. And like, as somebody who, like, because I wasn't changing the channel, I had three TVs. Now that I'm forced to just have one in my living room, thank you to my relationship, that's paying off. No, but it's impossible to switch back and forth. You got to just pick one and stick with it.
Yeah. Well, you would like to make December a little bit better. I've heard you say before, Martin, on Lemon Pepper and other programmings. So you like that January, you like that December time frame. I like October. I think we're all agreeing that March is going downhill. But you think you have a solution to make December even better. So I want to talk a little bit about changes to the sports calendar. Like, we know what it is, but what could it be? And I know you love to talk about how the NBA should shift their schedule to kick off right around Christmas.
It's the no-brainer of no-brainers. The NBA could own the summer, but instead it chooses not to because of the scheduling. And I get it with rookies and summer league and so on and so forth. But who cares? Who cares? Like, just build it out to maximize. Because right now what happens is, you have everybody tunes into the NBA on Christmas and then tunes all the way back out unless, like, Draymond Green kicks somebody in the nuts or, you know, something like that occurs. But you'll have multiple 50, 60, 70-point games, and people will be yawning because they're too busy watching Joe Flacco play the Browns on Monday Night Football, right? You know, or Joe Flacco play the Jets, I should say, on Monday Night Football because he was a Brown this year. Like, so what they should do is start the season, do like a soft opening. You know, when you open a new business, you do a soft opening. It's not quite the grand opening yet, but it's a soft opening. Limited hours, so on. Start the season on the 20th. Make sure everybody gets two or three games in before Christmas Day. Christmas Day, you stack it the same way you do now. Games wall to wall. You could have a whole league play if you really want it, but just stack them in, you know, into the ones that are, you know, New York in the morning, and, you know, so it's all built out and everything is kind of the same. But then you get guys with it, they're fresh, they're healthy because the season just started. So you get everybody playing in this big marquee Christmas Day. And then here you go. If you do it like that, that in-season tournament, right, which mm-hmm. people tuned into, just, you know, even during a pool play with all those disgusting courts, the in-season tournament needs to be where the All-Star weekend is. Still mm-hmm. have All-Star weekend, right? So still have your 3-point, your dunk contest, you know, Sabrina versus Steph or whoever the new, you know, Caitlin Clark versus Dame. I don't know what the new gimmick will be, but still do all of that. Right, you still have your celebrity All-Star game, Stephen A. Smith and Shannon Sharp coaching side by side in what is a hotly contested game full of football players, which that would be another fix I would make while I'm here. Yep. There's no form, limited athletes. And if they are athletes, they should be former athletes playing in the celebrity all-star
game. Cam is currently drawing a check for athletics.
And, I mean, Puka Nacua runs like a 4.5. You know, his job is to be athletic and work out. Like, you should be a celebrity for some other reason besides athletics if you're going to be in the celebrity all-star game. But still have all of that. But what you do is you back up and back end the schedule. So the championship game of the in-season tournament is Saturday, Sunday night of All-Star weekend. So you have two real teams playing, a game that really matters, and a game that will have some level of impact. And not only would it solidify the in-season tournament, but it also would give people what they want as soon as the football season ends, and that's good basketball. Because the All-Star game is far from good basketball. And you could have everybody else could take that week off. And then finally, your finals would be the end of July, start of August, right before training camp gets started. I mean, the summer could be yours. NBA, the summer could be yours.
Well, I love the in-season tournament at the All-Star game. I think that is a brilliant solution because I think we do need to see something in that space that's a better showcase than what we've been witnessing the last couple of years. But my question to you, Martin, if we're going to look at adjusting the sports calendar, is why does football let anybody own anything? I mean, maybe you give up the summer months, but isn't there a way for football to last longer? I mean, I don't know if what makes it special is the scarcity or the ritual or the week-in, week-out nature. And if you fall out of those rhythms, maybe then the nation would fall out of love with it a little bit. But I don't think so. I think they love to follow the drama, and we've seen what it's done for the NBA. I think people love the aesthetics of it, and they do love the scarcity of it only being, 16, 17 Sundays, whatever it might be, a year. So I'm not coming out here and saying they should play year-round, because that's insane. Like, these men are going through car crashes over and over again. You can't say, well, why don't you go through twice as many? But why is the calendar, why is it only taking up 4 or 5 months on the calendar? And I think there's like two ways to do this differently. One, I hope the spring leagues make it, but I have a lot of doubts just because of the quality of the athletes that are going to be in the fact that like the NFL is going to get the first pick of anybody who has any name recognition from college, right? So like who's actually going to play in these spring leagues that we're going to care about? So then you have two choices if you want to extend the football calendar. Both of them are never going to happen, but your NBA thing is never going to happen either. So we're just having fun here before we get to our picks. One, college football in the spring. College football in the spring. Let the NFL completely own the fall. Let them have Saturdays and Sundays. Like, they'll double their TV revenue because everybody's going to have more windows to watch those games in. You get even more money into the league, so the NFL's not going to object. And then college football, they can double their money too because you get all the same windows. You get all the same Saturday and Sunday windows all throughout the spring, and all of a sudden we've got football that we care about that is meaningful from, August all the way until, let's say, May, we're around graduation time. Or NFL should add bye weeks. They should add bye weeks. People complain when they added the second one. I say add 10 more. I say you play two games, you get a week off. I say the NFL goes from September to like April or May, and you play the same number of games. Like, are you really not going to care about the Saints anymore? If they have every third week off, you might enjoy that. You might be able to go out and like spend some time in the nice, beautiful fall weather with your girlfriend or with your family or whoever it might be. And just play the same amount to spread it out over more time. It works really well in soccer. It works really well in other sports. You don't have to do it every single week. And again, the TV revenue is going to explode because I don't need 9 games at 1 p.m. on Sunday. It's too much for me to watch. But even if the Commanders aren't playing, or especially if the Commanders aren't playing, I'm going to tune into the rest of the league because of gambling, because of fantasy, because of all these other reasons. And all of a sudden, each TV window has like 2 games or 3 games or 4 games, and we get to have it, an extra 3-4 months out of the year. So tell me why they can't do that.
I mean, why they can't? The NFL can do whatever the hell it wants. That's the first thing. It definitely can. But I do think that there is something that is, I don't know, maybe cathartic. I don't know the exact word I want to use, but there is something ritualistic of knowing that at 1 o'clock Eastern, you turn on the TV and more often than not, your team is playing. You can watch your squad. And it's the middle of the day on Sunday. You generally shouldn't have anything else to do, especially at that 1 o'clock time slot. You go to church in the morning, if that's what you get down, and you maybe even have enough time to go grab a snack before you're sitting there and you're locked in on your team. But the thing about everybody playing at the same time that I think is massive is it makes the other games feel huge, right? Like, if you think about the NBA, no game feels like big. Like, the biggest game we've had in the NBA this year was probably last week when the Nuggets and the Celtics played. But that's just because those are two really good teams, and it's like, oh, this might be a finals preview type of deal. But you could have, you know, the Bears and the Commanders, for example. They played on a Thursday night this year. It felt like a bigger game. Two teams ultimately not going anywhere, right? Like, in the grand scheme of things. But when Justin Fields was tearing up Emmanuel Forbes on the outside, and DJ Moore had like 250 yards receiving, it sticks in your brain because it was a Thursday night game on a standalone broadcast. That's the thing the NFL does that they have mastered that other sports leagues have not been able to find. Like, the college basketball has its tournament, which feels very, very important throughout, but if you don't have a certain mix of blue bloods through the Elite Eight and Final Four, people probably tune out, right? No, we didn't sign up to see Fairleigh Dickinson play Florida Atlantic.
Yep. No, I completely agree with you. The NFL dominates event-based programming. As we see every single year, you look at the 100 highest rated TV events, it's like 95 football games and the Oscars and a couple other things. And so you're absolutely right about that. But let's do that in the spring too. Like, how excited would you be in March if you went to church in the morning, you got to come home and watch the Saints? You just ain't used to it yet. Like, I understand the ritual. I understand all that, but you can go a week without that. You can go a week with going to church in the morning and coming home and watch Joe Burrow or somebody else, get to watch your second team, the Lions or whoever it might be. And you're right. The NFL is the only people who can do this because everybody else has to look at the sports calendar and be like, all right, how do we avoid football? Why football? Football's proven they don't give a damn about everybody else. Football is trying to take over more and more territory. And then you can hide this, pretend it's not a money grab, pretend it's about player safety. Oh, these men need more time to recover. Like, all of a sudden, we're going to play a 30-week season. We're going to go all the way up until May. Like, screw you, baseball. Screw you, NBA. Like, you guys make adjustments. You guys move into the summer. And they absolutely could do it, and I'm here for it because I miss football right now, and I don't want a seven-month off season. Like, it feels way too long compared to every other sport that only takes like 3 or 4 months off.
The thing about the NFL offseason, though, it just feels like there's a period of games and a period of everything else. But I don't ever feel like the NFL is off. Like, Russell Wilson signed with the Steelers, that was everywhere. I couldn't miss it. It was like the State of the Union. It was everywhere. You see clips everywhere from State of the Union. Everybody's talking about Russell Wilson. Like, there was all those college basketball games yesterday. NBA played all week. But Russell Wilson, to me, that was the headline of the Martin Weiss front page. Russell Wilson signs, and then all the other signings that have happened. So it's like, to me, the NFL is the one that is, even though they play the fewest games, is the most relevant more often than not, because of the coverage of it.
Well, if we're going to have the coverage, we should have the games too, right? Like, that Russell Wilson news story hits, Damashek texts you 15 times, and it's over in like 6 seconds. I'd rather get in there and be watching, Russell Wilson playing right now, whether it's March 11th or whenever else. So I don't know, man. Like, every other business as successful as the NFL looks to flood the zone with their product. And maybe that's why they're successful. Maybe it is the ritual. Maybe it is the limited nature. Maybe it's because they go away from so long and that makes the heart grow fonder. But it's not like if Uber went to LA and it worked in LA, they wouldn't be like, oh, how do we not expand to every city in the entire world? I think the NFL should look for ways to expand. And I think they could do it in the way of bye weeks. I don't want more games, but I do want them around longer. So I don't have to just follow the Russell Wilson stories. I could actually watch people on the field.
I will say this. One thing I find disgusting, abhorrent, and distasteful is the idea that we're going to be playing Big Ten and SEC football games on Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
What, we losing recipes out here? It's just, that's some of the most ridiculous. Friday night is for high school football. So what is a kid to do? He wants to go to Michigan. Oh, the Michigan Purdue game is on Friday night. He's supposed to miss his game in Texas to travel to Michigan to go watch Michigan and get recruited. Like, no, he's supposed to play because that's what they do. Friday night is for high school football. And the idea that these TV executives are trying to push college football on Friday night, they should be ashamed of themselves.
All right. Well, I hope we're not ashamed of ourselves today, Martin, after we give out a couple of winners in our picks right after this.
You know, when the conversation turns Stampers, I always go with my number one as Caesars. Let's talk about them a little bit, shall we? Tickets to the game, merch, meals at iconic restaurants, stays at Caesars Palace. All this can be yours when you bet with Caesars Sportsbook. Win or lose, every bet earns rewards credits, which you can redeem across the empire. Now, if you haven't started yet, register using this code. Listen up. Omaha Full. The word Omaha and the word full. And then you place your first bet up to $1,250. If you win, great. If you keep those winnings, but if you lose, you'll get your stake back as a bonus bet. 21 and over only. Offer valid and must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Massachusetts, Maryland, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, and Wyoming. New users and first $10 plus wager only. Must register with eligible promo code. Bet amount of qualifying wager returned only if wager is settled as a loss. Maximum bonus bet, $1,250. Bonus bet expires 14 days after receipt. Tier credits and reward credits will be added to account within 7 days after qualifying wager settles. See caesars.com/promos for full terms. Void where prohibited. Know when to stop before you start. Gambling problem? Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, Wyoming, Kansas, affiliated with Kansas Crossing Casino, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Licensed through Horseshoe, Bossier City, and Harrah's, New Orleans. Massachusetts, call 1-800-327-5050 or visit gamblinghelplinema.org. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Ohio, Pennsylvania, affiliated with Harrah's, Philadelphia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER or West Virginia, 1-800-GAMBLER.net. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, Martin, it is time to stop fixing sports. It's time to make a little bit of money. I beat you the last time out. I beat you in the Tournament of Champions, and I beat you in our Super Bowl picks. And I won last week against Nate Lundy. So I am done. I am due for a comeuppance, but I am going to claim honors. And we are going to start in the world of college basketball. It feels only appropriate in this particular week of March. I know the big boys aren't going to tip off until like that Wednesday, Thursday time frame, but we still got action tonight in the Sun Belt Championship game. And I am going with Arkansas State and JMU to go under 150.5 tonight, which is -115 right now. Now, Appalachian State has been the dominant team in the Sun Belt Conference this year with JMU hot on their tail, but Arkansas State managed to take them out last night, which means JMU at 30-3 with a win over Michigan State and a lot of great basketball behind them is in now in a one-and-done scenario. So I expect this game to be played extraordinarily tight. You're talking about college kids that suddenly have a lot on the line on both sides in an unfamiliar gym, expected to hit a pretty high total in college basketball, like 150.5. I mean, we think about like the running Rebs and things like that. Like I get used to watching UVA where like it's like 43-38 in the last minute. So the total seems a little bit high. The stats back it up. Arkansas State has been grinding games out, particularly in the tournament. more than they did in the regular season. That App State game only hit 132 the other night. So I think that they are looking at the overall trends between these teams and not looking at the circumstances of this conference championship game. Put a final bow on it. Arkansas State has been a covering machine in their last 20 games, which means they have been playing late at a lot of really tight spreads. I expect it to be tight. Tight correlates with the under. So I'm going to take the under at the 150.5.
Yeah, I have nothing intelligent to say about either Arkansas State or James Madison. I'll be honest. I could sit here and talk about it. Only thing I know about James Madison is that what you just said. They did beat Michigan State earlier this year, at which point I just trolled on Twitter because it's always a good day when Michigan State basketball loses. Now, don't talk about the program in Ann Arbor because all they do is lose these days. It used to be a proud situation over there. But as long as we're not doing the January, February Izzo, I can, you know, college basketball is all right with me.
All right. Well, we might have to cover Michigan a little bit on Wednesday, so I can try to throw you off your game before you get your picks. But what do you got in the heart category today?
Well, I'll tell you this. If you're going to just pick against Michigan, that's the answer. the basketball in the state of Michigan has been pretty damn bad this year between Michigan State losing to James Madison, Michigan being a complete dumpster fire, Detroit Mercy basketball, University of Detroit, they won one game all year, just one. And the Detroit Pistons, who are terrible.
Yep.
Also, my heart pick today, the Detroit Pistons, who are favored.
Yeah.
Who are favored in the game. What are we doing? We're favoring the Pistons. And you know what else we're doing? We're taking the bet. Yes, I am betting on the Pistons to cover. Last I saw the line, it was -4. Cade Cunningham has been cooking recently. He's 30 or more in his last two games. The Pistons have their big man between Jalen Duren and Beef Stew, who's back from his suspension for punching Drew Eubanks in the face. for seemingly very, I don't want to say no reason, but very little reason to punch the man in the face. Yeah, this is probably the first time the Pistons have been favored all year against, because let's be honest, the Pistons don't deserve to be favored against just about anybody. But while the Pistons have a worse record and the Wizards have a worse record, there is no team less serious than the Charlotte Hornets. And that is why I'm betting against this completely and totally unserious team, the Charlotte Hornets. So give me the Pistons -4.
I might come back and end up tailing that one because I actually took the Hornets on this show on Friday, if you can believe that or not, because they were getting points against the Wizards. So we just have this like little tournament of crappiness between these teams right now. And I like Detroit a lot more than I like Charlotte, particularly after Charlotte took the L against the horrible Wizards team on Friday night. The tournament of
terrible.
There you go. All right. We got our branding expert on the line. I couldn't come up with it, but you saved me there. So on the head category, Martin, I've been giving out one particular bet over and over and over again, and is now suddenly out of nowhere swung so far. I'm on the other side of the bet. Kevin Durant, first quarter points for the last couple of weeks, maybe even a couple of months, I forget how long I've been betting it, has been sitting at 8.5 to 9.5 every single night. And I've been hammering the under. And he was just delivering on the under time after time after time after time. And I guess somebody finally got wise to it and decided to adjust. The line on Durant tonight, first quarter points, they have dropped from 8.5 all the way to 4.5. 4.5 on the over-under on one of the greatest scorers in the history of the NBA to notch merely 5 points in a quarter of basketball where he's likely to play 8 or 9 minutes. So I'm going all the way on the other side of this one, Martin. I am reversing my trend. I'm reversing my bet because he almost always sits in that like 5, 6, 7 range, which is why he couldn't cover the 8.5. But he's almost never like shut out. Like who's shutting Kevin Durant out in a quarter of basketball? So you're getting it at 4.5. People swinging on the other side of this bet. I am now reversing -135. I'll swallow the juice to take my boy KD.
Yeah, I like that. That 4.5. I mean, you know, these things are going to be true at the end of the first quarter. He's going to have at least 3 shot attempts, and one of them is going to be a 3.
Yep.
So if he hits the 3, you got at minimum 2 opportunities to cover it, and don't let him get fouled because those are going to be 2 back-to-back buckets, right? So exactly. I like that a lot. In fact, I'm going to tail that.
There it is, baby. All right, KD. You got all of us riding with you tonight. Don't let us down. What are you doing tonight?
Not only do we ride with him, I'm riding with him for the full game. I'm going to take Phoenix to cover the 6.5 against the Cavaliers. Think we'll see Devin Booker back in this game. On top of that, we have Bradley Beal and Kevin Durant both playing, obviously, like we just talked about. The three Musketeers for Phoenix, when those three play, which is rare, they are really, really good. Now, the team construction and roster, that's something to talk about for a deeper podcast, maybe a playoff run question type. I wouldn't believe that. But without Donovan Mitchell, and they're missing two other starters, the Cleveland Cavaliers are. And then also to that point, Darius Garland hurt his hand yesterday. Expect him to play today, but expect him to be limited. If that's the case, I do not expect Cleveland to have much offense whatsoever, because without Donovan Mitchell, they don't really have too much offense in general. You know, you just hear things like the guy named Dean Wade is scoring 22 points in the fourth quarter to beat Boston. That's just one of those one every night type of situations. If he does that again, then I'll just have to tip my cap to old Dean Wade over there. And I don't think it happens. Phoenix wins this one by at least 7.
Somebody told me that happened, and I was like, Dean Wade's out of the lead. Like, I believe the result of this was 10 years ago. Who the hell is Dean Wade? Some off-brand crap right there. So, Martin, what do you think the Suns' ceiling is this season? We see them swing back and forth quite a bit. Like, the reason I always get scared on them on any sort of spread is their range of outcomes at any given night is massive. Like, they can go out and they can beat the Nuggets by double digits, or they can go out and lose to the Hornets. Like, do you think that they actually are a serious playoff contender, or do you think that variation is going to catch up with them? There's no way they could win 4 out of 7 games, you know, more than once or twice.
Yeah, I'm more than once or twice with them. Like, I think they're a second round ceiling here. Cause I mean, they're in the sixth spot, and they're probably I don't see them jumping anybody unless Minnesota continues to free fall without Karl Anthony Towns. Right. But I also don't think that'll happen. And I think, so you have Oklahoma City, teams that'll have home court in the playoffs, OKC, Denver, Minnesota. Right. Yep. Now, Pelicans are locked in that 5 spot. Maybe they can get up to 4, but it seems they already have a 2-game lead on Phoenix. Phoenix, the thing that scares me, like you said, wide range outcomes, don't fall to that 7 spot. Fall to that 7 spot, Phoenix, because you could they can lose a game, like you said, to Charlotte or to Washington or Detroit or one of these terrible, terrible teams. They can lose at any given moment. So I think we'll get through the first round probably just off of star power, but I don't think they're a true championship contender.
I want to see Suns Clippers, man. That would be such a fun series. So in the heater category, I am deferring, Martin. I don't often do this, but I want to make some conference championship bets, and I want to make them later in the week when I have some real information rather than what I have right now. So I will give out all of my heater picks on either Wednesday or Thursday. So are you going to do something similar, or do you have a pattern lined up already you're ready to unveil?
Yes, I am going to bet on the hottest team in the NBA, but it'll have to wait until Wednesday because they don't play until Wednesday. Same aforementioned New Orleans Pelicans. They've been locked into that 5 spot. There's something like in their last 25 games, I think they've won 18 of them. In the last, like, they are on a stretch run that I have not seen out of this team really for quite some time. They've been the healthiest they've ever been. And then it feels like the play-in game that they ended up losing, or winning, and then like feels like that team where they won in the play-in and then kind of pushed Phoenix in the first round a little bit. They didn't exactly win the series, but they pushed them. Well, skipped a year with that after Zion got hurt. But it feels like that kind of nucleus is back together. Brandon Ingram is passing the ball way more. Zion is passing the ball way more. They're getting everybody involved. And really, the key to me is a guy like Herb Jones, who is shooting something like 50% from three since the turn of the calendar, right? So since January 1st, and it's March 11th. Like, we're here. He's taking a ton of them. His ability to shoot the ball is tantamount to the Pelicans having success because he's one of the best defenders in the league. If he can become a true 3 and D guy, which he has shown since, like I said, through this season in general, but really since the start of 2024, the sky is really the limit because that's the type of guy you need on the court to be able to play against. Just think about the Western Conference, like you were talking about. You know, you want to see Clippers and Suns? Well, they got Kawhi, Paul George, Bradley Beal, Kevin Durant, and Devin Booker, all of them trying to attack from the wing. Herb Jones, there you go. That's your job. And then if he can still space the floor on the other side to be an offensive weapon, that's going to be where it really boils over for them because they don't really have a set guys up type of point guard. They're more like a CJ McCollum / Zion point guard team. Anyway, I really like the way that this team is built. I like the way that they're playing right now, and I will be betting on them against the spread in the two games they play this week.
All right. Well, you forgot my guy, Trey Murphy, as well. What is your relationship with the Pelicans? I mean, they showed up in New Orleans like when you were, what, a teenager? Is there like a stepfather that shows up later in your life you weren't born with? You still have fond memories of them? Or like, are they just another NBA team for you despite being from your home area?
I'd say, the thing is weird is I was a fan of the New Orleans Hornets. That was the team that I grew up watching. It was the New Orleans Hornets. So, you know, I don't mean like I am a fan per se. Like I enjoy them. I like watching their games. My dad really likes them. He'll watch all the Pelicans games. Like that's his team. So we watch the games and talk about them. And if I don't watch it, like he'll know that I didn't watch the game. So I end up watching them like for that regard. But the only teams that I really consider myself a fan of, the ones that like if I really get upset, if they lose or if they win, it could really change my day. It's the New Orleans Saints and the University of Michigan. Those, and I'm kind of there with the Detroit Tigers as well. Like the Tigers are, but like, yeah, I like to see them win. You know, I don't mean to disparage, like, but if they were like, you know what, like the Bobcats of years past, 9-7, if they were the Pistons right now, I wouldn't have watched a single game.
There you go. Well, you're going to be upset a lot with Detroit this year with the Tigers, but maybe they'll surprise us a little bit.
They're going to suck.
A realistic fan. I'm a Nationals fan, so we are going to have unhappy summer editions of Trendy when you are the guest. So finally, it comes down to credibility. Trey Murphy helped me win last week. I gave him out in steals. He's ripping off a steal in almost every game, and the odds don't reflect that right now. So look back at that bet if you want later in the week. But Martin, I've already given out one that you didn't have anything smart to say about in the Sun Belt. I've got another one for you. The beautiful game, which you don't really follow, but you can go ahead and nod because I usually get these right. Arsenal and Barcelona to both qualify tomorrow in the Champions League is -115 when you pair them together. Barcelona is taking on Porto. They are down one goal, but they are at home, and they are a dominant squad right now that is arguably in the best form of anybody in Europe besides Manchester City. I like them to get it done at home, maybe 2-0, maybe even 3-0, especially if they can score in the first half. Side bet I like to score in both halves, -105. It's another one I'll be playing. On the Barcelona side, they are also at home taking on a Napoli team that is a little bit down from when they were the hipster soccer darling a couple years ago, not having quite the same firepower. I know Barcelona also does not have the same firepower they used to have, but a down year for Barcelona is much better than a down year for Napoli. 1-1 at the Camp Nou, so I expect Barcelona to advance as well. You put them together, you take all of the risk out of trying to guess the spread or whether it'll happen in extra time or penalties or anything, and you get almost all the way down to -115. Now, Martin, I know you don't have an opinion on the game, and I did want to ask your opinion on one thing. The way these Champions League games are settled is they play twice, and then it's goal differential. So every single goal matters in both legs. We saw a little bit of this in the in-season tourney that you were talking about earlier, like where point differential mattered. Are you here for that, or do you think that's an aberration that people shouldn't be trying to turn a 16-point game into a 22-point game because it actually matters in the final results?
I think contractually obligated to be here for that. Because here's the thing. Like, is there anything worse than betting an over and the team stopped playing?
Yep.
Like, it would have easily gone over if they just maintained the pace. Like, nah, that's one thing if you bet the over And what was that? The Knicks and who the Knicks played yesterday? Whoever the Knicks played yesterday.
Sixers.
Neither one of them could score anything. If you bet the over in that game, good luck. It barely went over 160. You bet under 150 in this Arkansas State James Madison game. It barely went over 160. Then, okay, chalk it up. You lost. Congratulations. It happens. You know what I'm saying? It's betting. You're going to lose, you know, what? Anywhere from one third of the time to two thirds of the time. It just depends on how you play it, right? It's gambling. But it's so maddening when you've got the spot nailed down, like you've handicapped it appropriately, you've done everything right, and all of a sudden the guys just put the ball down and decide not to play out the last minute and 30 seconds of the game, like, and now you go under by the hook. Why? Yeah. No need for that. There was no need for that. I love the idea of point differential mattering because it makes every minute of the game matter.
Yes. And how many times have you had somebody covering 11 points and they're up like 22 and then all of a sudden they give up like a, you know, 12-0 run at the end of the game because they're playing the very end of their bench. And so like, I love it. I wish every sport would adopt some version of point differential having more of an impact on championship standings, because it does force it from all the way to the final whistle to actually come out and to know you're going to get some decent effort, which makes it far better to handicap. So it's another reason I like betting soccer over other sports, but I wish we saw more of it in the NBA and other sports, but I'm glad they're doing it for the tournament. What do you got in cred today?
Ironically enough, the reason why this is my cred pick is because point differential in the NBA doesn't matter. I am taking the Toronto Raptors plus 15 against the Denver Nuggets, who are probably the best team in the Western Conference. However, did you know, Toby, Denver 5-6-1 against the spread as a double-digit favorite?
Yep.
Also, teams, I got this from the Action Network, since 2018, teams who lost on the road to opponents with a win percentage below 30 and are road underdogs in the next game are 79-63-2, 56%. And the Raptors just lost to the Blazers. The Raptors are no world beaters, but the Blazers get beat by the world, right? That's the problem. So I'm going ahead and I like those numbers. And not only this, just the last time Denver was out, they on Saturday night, they had a 40-point lead against the Utah Jazz at a certain point. Utah, going into the half, I believe, Utah has a 40-point third quarter and cut it back to 15. So it ended up Denver won by 20. Game was never in question, but we're not talking about the game. The game is still not in question. Denver is going to win. But the question is, are they going to win by more than 15 points in a game in which I imagine they will be leading by 20 almost the whole thing? This is a picture-perfect version of why you don't take big favorites in the NBA, because by the end of this game, it's going to be Christian Brown, Peyton Watson, and DeAndre Jordan on the court for the Denver Nuggets. And the Raptors are – Gary Trent Jr. is going to hit his sixth three of the night, and it'll cut it from a 17-point margin to a 14-point margin.
Pale, baby. I mean, I talk about this all the time, and like, teams that have already won rings, they don't give a damn about the regular season. What do they have to prove in March? Like, yes, the Wolves, I like betting the Wolves. I like betting the Thunder. I like betting the Magic because they're still trying to prove themselves and establish themselves and things like that. Like these guys, like, you know, Denver and Miami and some other squads, they've already got the ring. They know it doesn't matter until April. 15 points is far too much in a regular season March basketball game, no matter who it is, when the favorite has already won a title. I will take that blind. I am 100% with you, and I love that bet.
Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you for playing Hardhead Heater Cred with me. Let's give our sponsors a little bit of love through Second Guess Express and send everybody on their way.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right, Martin, thank you so much for joining yet again. Always a pleasure to be on here today, and let's get a little bit of bonus action from you. I took honors earlier, so you give your second guess expressed first. What is sitting on your betting bench that is not in your starting lineup and therefore is guaranteed to hit?
Yeah, my second guess expressed is going to be the Mavericks, -4 here against the Chicago Bulls. The reason why I decided to rest it or not play it is due to the lack of rest that the Bulls had. It's less about Dallas and more about Chicago, which is, I mean, don't get me wrong, it's a solid NBA betting strategy, but I just felt more solid about the rest of the plays that I did have, even though one of them is Detroit favored in a basketball game.
Yeah.
That's crazy talk. Anyway, this same Detroit team got pounded by Dallas just a few nights ago, Saturday night. And so, I mean, by the end of the game, Luka's out, everybody's rested and now to get a day off to travel. But the Bulls, fresh off a 4-game road trip, fresh off a weekend in LA. So I'm kind of betting on, you know, the Chicago, the NBA LA fatigue.
The LA flu,
right? Similar to the Miami flu. Or I guess if you're John Morant, maybe the Denver flu, right? But I think you might have a few of the Chicago Bulls players, with younger guys in general, might have went a little out on the town. It was Oscars weekend, tons of events, tons of stuff. You saw LeBron was at a post-game party on Sunday. They played a game. LeBron hit the showers and then went to go hobnob with the Illuminati over there at one of the after parties. So I imagine there might have been one or two or three Chicago Bulls kind of doing the same type of thing. So I'm going to go ahead. That's my second guess express. Mavericks -4. I think they win and cover.
I just don't like the Mavericks, but I love your logic on the Bulls. And so I'm going to play that myself after we hang up. I am on one of your earlier bets, just in a different form. Cade Cunningham, a man on fire right now. Over 5.5 first quarter points is only -101 right now over at Caesars. He's done this 4 of the last 5. And if he's going to hit 30, he's going to get a lot of that in the first quarter. Plus, as we've already talked about a lot on this show, he has the Hornets tonight. So I probably should have put this in instead of the soccer pick, but I felt good about Arsenal. I also feel great about this one. The beauty of gambling is I don't have to choose. I can play both of them, and I'm going to, just not on the show.
No, see, what you wanted to do was you wanted to go ahead and do all those fancy soccer talk, footy talk, so you could be like, Martin, you don't know anything about this. This bet's going to hit. How about that?
Hey, I just wanted to hear your take on point differential, man. I'm just looking for ways to bring you into the show. I'm dishing up here.
But I will say that point differential also sneakily is a great way through like Thanksgiving-ish to tell who are the good teams and the bad teams in the NFL.
Yeah. Well, I mean, again, as long as we're like throwing things out there that'll never actually happen, the last wild card spot should go to the team with the best point differential that hasn't yet qualified. Don't make it about the standing. Make the last spot for the team that has been screwed the most but has been dominant in other parts of the game. Then you have to play for point differential the whole season.
I could kind of get behind that. I know it's one of the tiebreakers down the line, but to your point, it would be like if the 9-7 Texans scored 40 points a game, they'd be in, as opposed to, you know, whoever the other team that did. Yeah, I can't. It's not bad.
All right. Not bad for Martin. That's the highest praise you got from me. I've never heard. That's the nicest thing you've ever said in our 4 years together. You're gonna say a bunch more things this week, though. What are you guys gonna talk about on Lemon Pepper?
Lemon Pepper, we will talk about, it's the NBA version of Lemon Pepper Parlay now, so we'll probably talk about some of that Denver-Boston game that was played last week and takeaways from both, because Mark Gunnels texted me and said that the Joker locked up MVP during that game. And I was like, that's crazy because there's still 20 games left to be played. Like, how was that true? So we'll have that debate. I am rooting for Anthony Edwards and the Minnesota Timberwolves. I hope they remain atop the Western Conference, and I hope he gets real love for the MVP after Cat went down, because I think it's not that Anthony Edwards is the best player in the NBA or even the best American-born player in the NBA, but I really like the way he plays. I like the way he approaches the game when he's on time for the game, as opposed to coming in late. But I really like the way he plays. I like the way he approaches the game, and I think that rewarding guys like Anthony Edwards is going to be better for the NBA in the long haul. So I'm rooting hard for Ant-Man.
It's a great point on Ant. While, Martin, I would never, ever risk for injuries. Like, you don't want to do that. That's bad karma in life. The fact that Joel Embiid went down just left more narrative space for, like, the SGAs and the Ants of the world to fill. Like, we're not in that same debate. It feels like we've been forever on all the talking head shows. Is it Jokic? Is it Embiid? Is it Giannis? It's left just removing one of those guys. It's left space for Ant and for Jason Tatum and guys like that, and of course Edwards to come in and talk about. So while I want Embiid out there, I want every team at full strength because I love basketball and I want to see the best compete against the best. At least off the court, I think guys like Ant Edwards and SGA are getting more flowers as a result of his absence.
I mean, it's definitely a vacuum, right, without the big fella out there, and because it's generally be Jokic, Embiid. But without one of those two tennis players on, you know, volleying back and forth, now it's just Jokic hitting balls at the wall.
That is a perfect image for Jokic. I can imagine him just hitting tennis balls at a wall forever until he's the single best person who's ever picked up a racket.
Right. So, but it ends up good because the NBA is a league singularly markets its stars over its teams. So the more stars that we have of legit, you know, tier one type guys, the better it is, because you want to be able to see those. Like, we really need to try to restore the feeling in men's basketball across the board, NBA and college. But right now, I mean, you know, the fight is not there in the same way. Boston's got a million games up on, like, we got to a point in the NBA discourse where it's like, well, do they have a championship? Oh, they don't matter. Right. Yeah. I think the reality of the situation is it's really hard to win a championship. And along the way, we're missing a lot of great stories.
You know, Martin, it's strange. Like, I'm a huge basketball fan. You're a huge basketball fan. But the championship I am most interested in the next 6 months is the Olympics. It's not the March Madness. It's not the NBA Finals. I actually care the most about the Olympics because I think it's going to be fascinating to see how everybody attacks Paris this year. And we should have like 8 teams that have legitimate hopes at winning it. And we got a chance to really crown Wemby right there in his home court.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I'd say, you know, Canada's got a good team. France has got a good team. Spain has had a good team for the last 20 years. And since U.S. has dominated basketball for the most part, but I wonder if that domination will start to slip, especially as we see more and more and more foreign-born players playing in the NBA, which we generally say is the best league in the, you know, in the world, right? But these guys, I mean, these foreign-born players coming in here and kicking ass, like Jokic is kicking ass. Luka Doncic is unguardable, right? Like, nobody can stand in front of him, and he plays the YMCA.
Yeah, I mean, you said Ant Edwards might not be the best American-born player, but he's also arguably not a top five player in the league, which lets you know where the balance of power really sits right now. So the rest of the network this week outside of Lemon Pepper, we will have a hell of a -3 episode, I imagine, with the Mac Jones and the Russell Wilson news when Hench shows up to talk to Damashek about that. So that should be a whole lot of fun. Brett and I will be back talking about FA Cup games on Covered in Glory on Thursday. We'll have Extra Points on Wednesday. And of course, Martin and I continuing our battle for the rest of the week. So, Martin, I hope that you go out and enjoy a little Sun Belt basketball tonight. You can familiarize yourself with it before the big boys tip off later in the week. Everybody else, enjoy the games. We will talk to you on Wednesday. Take care, everyone.